Oh, hello and welcome back once again to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Eric. And this episode, boy, it's a doozer. It's a fucking, that's what I call it now. It's a doozer. I got some good stories from Mexico, where I went to Joe Robinson and Katie's wedding. The Killer Clown and the Candyman wins another award. And there's a special story about erotic fiction, that a little erotic fiction that I wrote out on the road. And we close out this episode by starting to break down 1989's Society, which is... Boy, if you haven't seen it, it's free on YouTube, and you can definitely watch it right now. And it is kind of worth it. But if I could implore you to drop us a 5-star rating on whatever player you're listening to us on, really helps us out and costs you absolutely nothing except for your honesty and appreciation of the show. So without further ado, strap in, turn the volume up to 11, and get ready for Society.
Kiddies, it's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
Tell you about an idea that I thought was just really funny lately.
Does it involve lots of dicks and a goat?
No, did not include that. But
three dicks and a goat.
No, I was thinking. I had this idea of, you know, because, like, you know how basically if you're trans now, that's like as perfect of a human being as you can be in today's society is trans.
Two turntables and a microphone.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking of if Samuel L. Jackson was Transuel L. Jackson, and like the next Marvel movie, like instead of making Captain Marvel like a black bi-gender neutral lady who's a lesbian, just make Nick Fury trans, so he'd be Transuel L. Jackson, and he could have, like, you know, like, imagine Spider-Man Far From Home, where he looks at Peter, he goes, "Do I look like a bitch?" And then Peter's like, "Actually, Mr. Fury, you do kind of look like a bitch now, sir." I mean, ma'am, say ma'am again, motherfucker, say man again. So. Trans, you don't like Transuel L. Jackson, though? You wouldn't watch if it was Transuel L.
I was turned off ever since Nick Fury.
What's wrong? What's wrong with my titties? You don't like them, Peter? You don't like my titties?
And, of course, they get rid of Golden Boy Warlock.
Hey,
so.
you want to fuck my titties like a bitch? Do you want to fuck my tits, Parker?
Which was my favorite scene from Coach Carter. So. Yeah,
that was a powerful scene, powerful moment in Coach Carter. Yeah. Welcome back to the Quality Time Podcast. My name is Eric T. Woodworth, back and fresher than ever, joined by my co-host, the Ridge, the man, the myth, my blood, my brother, Mr. Jeremy P. Woodworth. Jeremy! How you doing, brother? I'm sorry. Who could even possibly be joining us on the show this evening?
Today I'm Brian Usna.
Brian Usna, huh?
Famous producer and director today's film.
How does Brian Usna speak exactly?
I'm pretty sure he talks like this because he's a famous director.
This is how famous directors talk, yes.
I helped produce From Beyond and Reanimator.
Yes, and I discovered famous actors like Billy Warlock. Jerry, what's your favorite Billy Warlock movie?
Probably Silent Night, Deadly Night 4.
Hey, you know who you know Billy Warlock? He was in Halloween Part 2.
I'd like to know who he was in that movie. Yeah.
Okay. He must have been much younger.
I think
he
was.
Halloween 2 was like 1982, maybe?
He played Craig, which must have been some type of friend of...
Is it one of the kids, maybe?
Yeah, probably one of the kids. I'm going to go with one of the kids.
So did you see the new Atari 2600 Halloween 3 games?
No, I haven't seen those. Are those... That's a thing?
Yeah. They're all made up. Somebody made up a thing of it. So.
Oh, you know Brian Usna? I think he also did... Did he do Castle Freak?
He's been... tied at the hip to Stuart Gordon all through the 80s.
Jeremy, he's the director of one of my favorite Corbin Burnson films.
The Dentist,
man. God, The Dentist is a future app for sure. I remember watching The Dentist and being legitimately terrified of The Dentist after seeing it. And it's so ridiculous. They have these shots of the teeth that, like, in retrospect, you look at them now, like, oh, these are giant room-sized models of the teeth that they just did, like, regular shots of. But either way, it's a great movie.
And Corbin Burnson's married to this hot English chick who I think was the second only to Flash Gordon on the Flash Gordon show,
Amanda Hug and Kiss.
She's very nice, even still very hot today. And I talked to Corbin. I called him out in front of his wife. I was like, you know, Corbin wasn't cool when I asked him about if he was hit by John DeLancey on the Star Trek Next Generation set as the other Q. And I was like, it's a perfectly legitimate question. I mean, come on, Corbin. You're one of the sexiest men of the 80s.
Yeah. Why?
I mean, if I was John DeLancey, I'd be trying to rape you or something. So.
Every day? Duh.
I am Q. I am totally Q. Q, please stop raping me with your godlike powers of gayness.
Jeremy, I'm fresh back from my trip to Mexico. I went to Joe Robinson's wedding.
Did you drink the water?
I did a little bit, just to brush my teeth mostly. And the only day I brushed my teeth was the day I went home because I was just spending it completely hammered the whole time I was there, and I got violent diarrhea on the drive home.
Wow, just from brushing your teeth?
Man, just from brushing my teeth. Wow. I remember visibly swallowing a little bit, and then I was waiting for the transport to take us to the Mexico airport. And,
so you can't even use the water to wash out your mouth.
Because I did. They said you could. They were like, don't drink it, but you can brush your teeth with it. But I know I only brushed my teeth like 2 days, and I remember just getting really in there with the last one. And I definitely sat in that hotel lobby, and I started to sweat and hyperventilate a little bit. Like, I was like, I mean, it's hot here, but it's not. Oh, man, I'm not feeling really good. And, you know, like, you're a big guy, Jeremy. You get the under the titty sweat where your titties start to perspirate
every day.
My wife was looking at me like, "Oh God, you don't look good." I was like, "I know, I'm not feeling great," but it was fucking horrible.
Can I tell you about a rite of manhood that happened the other night?
Sure.
Toilet doesn't exactly drain as well as it should.
Explain this. What do you mean it doesn't drain? Like it just doesn't?
It doesn't go down to the level that it should after flushing.
Okay. So it's like a high water.
It's a little high.
Okay.
And in the middle of the night, I go to take a dump, and my balls are just soaking in that fucking water. Oh, gosh. It's such a horrible feeling. I literally had to take a shower after it. Oh, man. And I'm thinking 10 years ago, this wouldn't have happened. This would not have happened.
That's really good.
I think I'm getting old man ball sagging.
Maybe have you ever thought about maybe getting some type of support for your this could be causing back problems for you. I mean, I know you're very
now that they've become human head size.
Have you thought about ball reduction surgery?
Well, with the bike, I just put it under one handlebar and over the other support bar on the bike, so they just kind of roll like two heads on the bike. So.
You look like Randy from the episode where he gives himself fucking ball cancer, like Buffalo Soldier.
The best part is when I climb into my hut and my buddy from behind me helps lift the balls as I climb into.
God,
the
yes. So, I like the idea of you needing a spotter for your balls.
How else am I supposed to climb into the hut without my ball guy behind me?
So I had a some just a couple of quick stories from Cancun, Joe Robinson's wedding. Now, I'm not going to steal the best stories because I feel like it's Joe's wedding. So if there's Joe's specific stories, if I wasn't a direct part of it, they're all for him.
Can I make a mention? Just
you have to go to the Rob and Joe show to get all that.
Can we out of
respect
for our viewers, can we call it Cancun instead of Coon?
Yes, Cancun. Okay. Cancun. Right.
Just
Cancun.
Making sure.
A couple of quick stories. When I got to the airport just before I left, there's this lady, right? And you know, when you park at the airport, we usually are staying at whatever the cheapest parking lot is for daily parking, right? And there's those little, you know, the little bus stops that take you up there. So we get to the bus stop. Me and the old lady are waiting. And there's like this 19-year-old girl with like a group of people. And she's like, oh my God, I don't know where my keys are. And she takes her big suitcase, right? And unzips it and starts taking everything out of her giant, like, pack ready thing. And I'm watching this. I'm like, oh my God, what is she doing right now? Like, if you don't have your keys now, just assume they're in the thing at this point. What are you going to do? You're going to get on a fucking plane right now. How is this helping? It's like every car that goes by, like every loud vroom. And I'm like, honey, don't worry. That was just a dump truck. You're good. You're good. Meanwhile, so she finally digs everything out. She starts putting it back. She found her keys. They were deep in there. By the way, why are you putting your keys to the car that you drove here in deep within? Everything about this makes no sense, right? It's driving me up the fucking wall watching this lady. And so as she's going, she packs it all back in. She goes, oh my God, did I bring this other thing? She unzips it again, and everything's put away. She started to take it out. Now the bus is coming up, and I'm legitimately stressed for her. I'm like, and I whisper over in Tracy's ear, I'm like, we just gotta fucking go. We can't wait around. We gotta go, hon. We gotta go. And so she quickly shoves everything back in her bag and gets on, and I don't know what she was looking for, but the whole time, I'm like sitting like two seats away from her. She goes, oh my God, I think I forgot this one thing again. And she's going, you can see her mind racing. She's forgot another thing. I'm like, oh my God, what is wrong with this lady? Oh God, first of all, if I forget anything, I just immediately accept it. I mean, I need my passport, right? That's the thing I need to get on the plane and come back, right? Those are the only things I need at this point, okay?
That's like me, because I have my PSP and my iPod, but I'm like, I forgot my iZune.
No, oh, I forgot
Damn
my
it.
Zune. How am I Damn supposed it. To listen to the hits of the 70s without it?
All right, so am I ready for a mix another story in here?
Yeah, well, I have more Cancun stories, but go ahead.
Right, give it a little mixing. You got a little lull here.
I'm just this is just about departure, okay?
Okay.
So I see Gramps. He's the fabled patriarch of the Rob and Joe show. Notorious Me Too-er. He Me Too's people. We actually gave him a name after this trip. We called him Mr. Me Too.
Why not Notorious P.O.P.?
Okay, I like that.
P.O.P.S.
Notorious P.O.P.S. I love it when they call me P.O.P.S. The second I bring Gramps up, he sees my wife, immediately hits on my wife. Not even the first thing, not a hello. He's like, do you feel bad when you see me and you're stuck with this loser right here? Immediately shits on me the first five seconds.
I'm assuming
seconds.
That he's grabbing his crotch and he's like, kind of like...
No, know. His peen is fully out. he's about that business.
So, what do you think of this?
So Gramps, the whole weekend, the whole time we were there, there wasn't one woman that he had an interaction with that he didn't hit on. Every single one, he hit on every single woman. He was in full character the whole time.
So he's in full Biden mode.
But even on top, he makes Joe Biden look like Denzel Washington. Like he's the most respectful person in the whole world. Gramps takes it to a different level. Now, Gramps also did this, and me and Joe had a pretty fun time talking to him. He was just like, hey, do you wake up at night and realizing you're not as beautiful as I am? And
oh,
I go,
my gosh.
And I go to Joe. I was just like, oh, my God. Every night. I was it's 3 a.m. last night, Gramps, until I got a wink of shut eye, thinking like, God, I wish I was as beautiful as Gramps. And then I did this thing where I was like, actually, at 4 a.m., I woke up in a cold sweat. And my wife grabbed me like, were you thinking about how Gramps was beautiful again? I was like, of course I was, honey. So, good stories from Gramps. Jeremy, you said you had a story that you wanted to share.
Very happy that 13horror.com, which I'd never heard of before, but very happy to hear of that they not only, I guess, I don't know if it was the fans. It might have been fans. It might have been just them. They they awarded Attack of the Killer Attack. Yes, now it's Attack of the Killer Clown. Mm. So the Killer Clown Meets the Candyman is now Best Picture, which amazes me. And instead of me, Edward X, Best Actor.
So now you and Mr. X.
We are both now Best Actors in our film.
Well, congratulations. And oh, my gosh.
Very happy that. And if I actually had a dollar to my name, I would have been up in Cleveland at a horror show actually promoting the film, but I don't because I don't have any money.
Well, that happens sometimes when you live a rock star lifestyle like yourself.
And we had a special update on John Link, who has moved up in the world because he is not living on the street anymore.
John Link is, of course, to our new listeners, a independent film actor of the horror genre, star of Lord of the G-Strings.
As Gollum, instead of Gollum.
Instead of Gollum, he played Gollum in Lord of the G-Strings. He's also homeless, has lice. We've talked about him many times. He's moved up in the world, though.
Yes, he was homeless before, but now he's moved into a storage unit.
So he's living a meth dealer's life now.
With his brother. And the best part is that apparently outside their storage unit, the black people play their black music extremely loud, but they can't complain because they're living in a storage unit.
Yes.
Which kind of keeps them up at night, these two 71 and 68-year-old men.
Oh, man.
Living out the final years of their life before they die. So,
God, that's going to be a weird episode of Storage Wars. Can you imagine the Storage Wars episode when they're both dead and missing for like months and they open up like, all right, everybody look around, and it's just the putrid smell of both their dead bodies and they're like, oh my God!
I have not... Oh, and there's another update, is that when John has had this turtle, I think, for how many years, if not decades, he had it in his storage unit, and his brother didn't take care of his turtles, and his turtles died while he was in the hospital. So
how much do you think that unit goes for when they find the dead bodies in there? Like, can't you imagine like the guy Dave who goes, yep, and like they have a little cutaway scene. And they're like, he's like, listen, there's a buyer's market out for these type of corpses out here in the black market. People are into some sick shit. If I can get this for the right price, I'm going to turn a profit.
You know, after a week, when the body starts to bloat up like a balloon and all them maggots just spill out of the guts, that's the part that's the hardest to clean up.
You know, my dad says that this unit isn't worth nothing, but I know there's a sick market for these necrophiles out there that would like to fuck these dead old men. And he's just like, if I can get this unit for the right price, we can make a deal here.
I hate to say, and I don't know if the show is still on, if Hoarders is done as a series, which I hope it goes on for like 30 years, because America is sick and they need this show. Much myself, number one, is the fact that I really want to call up these guys. These guys need to be on the show. They need to take their 8 storage units and put them down to 1, and then they can actually live in a fucking old folks or a government run building.
Okay.
And not have licensed scabies. And yeah, might live another 5 years instead of dying out in the cold. So.
Well, you know, I think, you know, we should highlight these freaks of nature so that we can, just like everything in America, we parade them around for the horrible freaks of nature they are until, you know, they...
And also help his career, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So...
what was it? Acclaimed writer, the guy who... his name eludes me now. The guy who wrote Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, Hunter S. Thompson.
Yes. Hunter S. Thompson. As Kim Callahan would know very, very surely.
Hunter S. Thompson always famously said, if you're crazy, find out how to get paid for it. Otherwise, they lock you up. And that's it. It's never been a more truthful statement. Do you think Steve-O wouldn't be in jail if it wasn't for Jackass? 100%. He would be behind bars.
I think he would
just
be another fine employee at Haagen-Dazs. So.
He would be the manager of a Hot Topic.
Even though
right
he'd
now.
Be high on heroin. So. Now, you want some chocolate sprinkles on those?
So I have one more story that I'll share this episode, okay? And just a teaser for the next episode, I still haven't brought up my mullet, rum punch, and the hairiest man alive that I've ever seen. I'm saving that for the next episode. But
stay tuned.
At Joe and Katie's wedding, there's a reception, and the guy who did the ceremony for the reception, Jeremy, had a little notebook that he had written down everything that he was going to say and then read, right?
Right.
Well, then he took it to the cocktail hour, and he said, hey, write something to Joe and Katie in this book. And we'll, you know, they'll read it later or whatever. It was a nice, thoughtful thing. So I got the book, Jeremy. And I sat down on the beach where this little beautiful reception was happening. And I pulled up a beanbag chair. I also must say a mariachi band was playing to my left. A three-piece full mariachi band was playing to my left. And I sat there for a minute. I'm like, should I write something thoughtful, something funny, something from the heart? I wasn't sure. So I went with option four, Jeremy.
Something so insane no one will understand.
I went for option four, Jeremy, which was 2 pages
of, oh my gosh,
of Bigfoot erotic fiction. So in this marriage book to Joe and Katie, about page 5,
oh,
I would say,
gosh,
there's a it's called My Bigfoot Adventure. And I'll paraphrase it slightly, just so you can get a taste
Can it be read by Harry Morgan from the show MASH?
I think so.
When Bigfoot grabbed me, his penis was so enlarged that my anus was torn to shreds in seconds.
Well, let me give you my paraphrasing of what I wrote here. I was alone in the woods. I've been searching for the hairy beast for weeks now. I felt like I'd reached the end of my rope, and I'd pretty much run out of all my paid time off, so I was going to call it a night, when all of a sudden a shadow appeared over top of me. I peered slowly over my back, scared, frightened, yet slightly aroused. When I looked back, there he was, 8 foot tall, huge, gorging over top of me. At first I was frightful because he seemed like he was agitated that I'd, you know, entered his domain. So I did the only thing I thought I could do, and I rolled over onto my belly and presented myself to Bigfoot. He took his long hairy shaft and immediately had his way with me for the next couple of minutes. Pain, anguish, pleasure that I've never experienced before coursed through my body.
Hashtag Chris Restivo.
Hashtag Chris Restivo. Every third thrust, I would scream, five-plated! Five-plated! When the massive beast had finished, he disappeared into the wilderness behind me, leaving me in a pool of love juices, similar to that of an ectoplasmic slime, similar to a Ghostbusters 1. I never knew what that Sasquatch's name was, but I will raise our child as if it was his own. And that's my erotic fiction.
So that's why you named your child John C. Reilly.
And then he went on to be in in the movie Talladega Nights.
Tell him it was a friend.
Tell him it was a friend.
Oh,
so yeah,
gosh.
That was I wrote some erotic fiction. I'm sure they're going to read it on the Rob and Joe show, I think. But that was my paraphrasing of what had happened there.
Did the Rob and Joe take a hiatus for like 5 or 10 weeks or something?
Well, he's still in Mexico right now. So yeah they took two. Well, they didn't do one the week they left, and he was out all last week. So I think he's back now. So there'll probably be an episode this week. Anyway, enough plugs for the Rob and Joe show.
I know. They don't need our listeners.
Oh, God. Is this?
We need their listeners. We need everybody's listeners.
This show doesn't just exist to suck Joe Robinson's dick, okay? Okay? That's not what we're here to do, all right?
It's bad enough that I drive listeners away with my hatred and curmudgeon-y,
yeah.
So.
Anyway, without further ado, here are some of Joe Robinson's corrections.
Hey, Joe Robinson.
All right, so Joe has a couple of corrections here.
Oh, what episode are we talking?
This is in regards to the Freddy's episodes. I'm
Would
pretty
be
sure
part
it's
part 2 or Freddy versus Jason.
I think it's Freddy part 2. And he says, Jeremy says that nobody's ever died of sleep apnea. And he's like, I guess Reggie White, Hall of Fame NFL defensive lineman, isn't a big enough name for him. So, Reggie White. So,
supposedly somebody died of sleep apnea.
Reggie White. Reggie White is confirmed sleep apnea death. Confirmed. So I just
don't even
I'm
believe
just,
it. Fake I'm news.
Just
fake
look,
news.
Do you, have you ever heard of Reggie White?
No,
Reggie
no.
White is like the best defensive tackle that's probably ever played the game. He played for the Green Bay Packers with Brett Favre's team.
And it's all a lie because he truly died of drugs.
Are you making Reggie White?
Yes.
Are you besmirching the sweet name of Reggie White?
I don't believe it. I guess he died in his sleep, so it must have been sleep apnea. So he stopped breathing. Oh, it was because of sleep apnea.
So that was the only Joe Robinson correction. Listen, I'm just giving you the corrections.
You know who else died of sleep apnea? Mm-hmm. Whitney Houston. So
I mean, look how that turned out. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how that helps.
Another person who died of sleep apnea. Prince, he was falling asleep on an elevator. So
yeah. Falling asleep in an elevator. Yep.
But
living it
if
up
he had only used the CPAP,
down.
He'd still be alive making great music today. So
well, hey, that's what I'm throwing out there, and that's what I'm sticking
and
to.
And the other person who we can be assured died of sleep apnea, Gigi Allen. So
okay, I get your point. Yes. I get your point. Okay,
it's all because he couldn't breathe during the night, so had nothing to do with all that heroin. So
listen, hey, I'm not arguing with you.
I will look up Reggie White just so I can be more informed about this horrible thing that only CPAP can cure. So.
I'm passing on a Joe Robinson correction. That's it. That's all I got.
I'm gonna start taking heroin now. Because
since then the CPAP what if the deal is you'll use the CPAP machine but you also get to use heroin so you won't die.
I'm going to be taking heroin but people are going to blame it on the CPAP and the fact that I wasn't using it.
You could be a leader in heroin rights because you're like, no, it was a CPAP machine.
Exactly.
Did you see it?
If only I had the CPAP I wouldn't have died. So
That's a good one.
I have a new cure that you don't need the CPAP. I just shove a giant funnel down my throat every night so that it just opens my airways and keeps everything perfect. So, except for giant moths that can fly right down into
Listen, I realized when I saw this correction it was going to be a problem, but I keeps it real on the show.
It's all good.
So, should we get into tonight's tale, Jeremy? Should we jump right into it? Tonight, we are going over the, I believe it's 1989, but released actually in 1992, stateside.
Wow. 3 years they sat on this.
This is 1989's Society.
And I had never heard of it before. And I really consider myself a Brian Usna fan.
And now this was a listener suggestion, right?
Yes, definitely Lisa Bustabus, who also turned us on to The Greasy Strangler.
God bless.
Two of the best movies that I've seen in a long... Well, not this movie, but Greasy Strangler. Home run out of the park.
I like Greasy Strangler, and the fact that we got to watch it with Chris Restivo was that much better.
And this movie is definitely a must-see movie, even if you only see the last... quarter of the film. So.
Now you'd mentioned the director, Jeremy, Brian Usna.
Yes.
Name a couple of other Brian Usna films. Why he's important in the
horror
genre.
Well, this is his first directorial, but he's been producing with Stuart Gordon forever, ever since they've been friends, and you know, all the good Stuart Gordon films like From Beyond, Reanimator, even Honey I Shrunk the Kids, which is their big hit, and I think even. Gordon started cutting back, so Brian started taking the reins and doing more. So,
but you made a tribute song to Brian Usna,
yes,
that we will share with you guys now.
Brian Usna, greatest producer of horror films. Brian Usna, here's the film that I really like from him. Reanimator, From Beyond, Dolls, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Brian Reanimator, Fool, Saturday Night, Jimmy Bob, Five. And Return of the Living Dead 3. And let's not forget Society. Brian Usna.
That's pretty good. Pretty good Brian Usna song.
I put minutes of work into that song.
You know, out of all the songs I've heard about Brian Usna, that's my favorite. Hands down my favorite one. That is, that's the best, Jer.
I'm still working on my 10-year song about Barbara Crampton, but I can't keep from masturbating while I do it. So
I can't stop masturbating to Barbara Crampton. Don't you know it's true?
Oh my gosh, I think she's pushing 60 and still probably the greatest GILF in all of Scream Queendom.
You know what? I'm gonna go strongest Scream Queen of the horror genre. Still Elvira. She's still got it. I've seen some recent pics. It's them. Them tatties ain't 60 years old.
Woo! Oh, yeah. I don't know. Linnea Quigley, she's a great screen queen. She's starting to look a little tough.
Yeah, Linnea Quigley is not holding up as well. It looks like she lived a hard life through the 80s.
Well, she's still a great actress, so still working hard, too.
I listen, I'm not besmirching the sweet name of Linnea Quigley and her rocking tits.
Not everybody can be Barbara Crampton, so.
No, they can't. That is true. So society, I don't know. I don't even want to preface this movie. Just an overview of it. Okay. If this was my original takeaway, because I'd never seen this movie either, Jeremy, and God damn it, this is a movie that if, like, Quentin Tarantino were to make it today, or if John Carpenter had made this movie and it had good actors, this movie would be fucking awesome. But instead, what you got was, imagine that, like, you had to cast, but all you had was daytime TV actors and people from, like, your community arts center to draw from as far as talent goes, and the most amazing script you could ever possibly have.
At what point during the film did you realize that this really...
Like, no, you know what it's like? Imagine the cast of Saved by the Bell did the movie Pulp Fiction. That's what society is.
Well, you know who Billy Warlock is, right?
Yeah, he's from Days of Our Lives.
No. As a character in this movie, he is the poor man's Charlie Sheen.
No, I could buy that.
Because this part was so much like Charlie Sheen, it almost had his name on it.
Except Charlie Sheen probably would have done a fucking knock out of the park job in this. Like,
I swear he's doing Charlie Sheen during the whole damn movie.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I could see that. No, he's 100%. He's got the gruff, good looks.
Or at least Emilio Estevez.
Yeah, I would have settled for Emilio. I like Emilio.
Now, if only his friends could have been Jeremy Piven and maybe... Sorry, I can't think of another name. Of course, the other... who's the other... the brother of... what's his name? Something About Mary with the big teeth?
Chris Elliott.
Yeah, Chris Elliott.
Chris Elliott, yeah. Okay. No, big teeth. Oh, you're talking about Matt Dillon.
Other brother.
Of course. Matt
Charlie Dillon, or the one from Entourage.
not Matt Dillon. Oh, Matt Dillon's brother. Yeah, okay.
Brian Dillon.
Brian Dillon.
Frank Dillon.
Brian Dennehy.
Yes.
Yes, so. I gotcha. So,
there's at least in Platoon where he like gets to kill a retard. So
all of this great script is wasted on horrible acting, and so 90% of this movie is fucking horrible to watch. But I can tell you, there's about like three or four scenes before in that first hour that are okay, kind of scary, kind of creepy looking. But that last fucking half hour, boy, oh boy, is it a good one. And we'll get to that most likely in episode 2. But this movie opens up and we meet troubled young Billy, played by none other than Billy Warlock.
Real name.
Yeah. This is a... No, Billy Warlock is his real name in real life, and he's playing Bill Whitney in this. He's walking through his house, and it's shot very well. He's got a strong 80s mullet. Like, it fucking makes my makes my mullet look weak right now. And he's hearing laughter, and, you know, it kind of is like maybe likely in his own mind. He walks through a darkened house and grabs the knife. He sits down. He seems like he's about to plunge it into his own neck. When his mom shows up, she is clearly concerned and sends Billy to go talk to the shrink. And we get to hear a little interaction from Billy and his psychiatrist.
Scared? I get scared.
Of what?
My parents, my sister. You. I feel like something's gonna happen. And if I scratch the surface, there'll be something terrible underneath.
It is perfectly normal to experience a certain irrational fear.
He bites into this apple and he looks down. It's filled with maggots all of a sudden.
So oddly, they don't fall like rain.
It will pass, I assure you.
Whoa. Very scary.
Do we dare break open the apple on this?
What?
I just feel that this probably has something to do with the society.
Oh! No, the titular line is coming very soon, don't worry. And comes many times after
Do we want to say whether this movie sets a record for the titular
line? Yes, this movie uses the titular line, I swear, like 37 times. I'm not lying to you. Anytime they can say the word society after it's introduced, it is used over and over again.
It's almost as much as the movie Predator. It's like, well, obviously, he's the predator. Mm-hmm. If he bleeds, we can kill the predator. Hey, Mac, you're bleeding. I ain't got time to bleed until we kill the predator. So
I always like that one part in the movie where they go, well, of course, because this is Romy and Michelle's high school reunion. That's a good titular line.
But we have
line.
To get across this country with our sisterhood of our traveling pants.
Yeah. How am I going to solve this problem? Maybe with this fistful of dynamite. So, yeah.
But Rose, it's okay. We're on the Titanic.
You know, I like the part in that line that Danny Glover says. He was just like, you know what? This feels a lot like Predator 2.
Don't you mean Predator also? No, Predator 2.
No, Predator 2. Trust me. I know what I'm saying.
Oh, gosh.
So next we see Billy playing ball with his buddy outside, his buddy Milo, playing the whitest form of basketball you've ever seen, with the worst mood. Like, honest to God, it's not even... He's supposed to be the star athlete basketball player. He none of his acting says that he's good at basketball.
Almost as bad as Obama on the courts in the White House. So.
All of his acting on the basketball court says that he was a theater nerd, and it 100% shows up right there. Oh yeah, Milo drops this one little joke. He says, huh, "You're playing with the confidence to kill the president one day." Sick line, Milo. All of a sudden, Blanchard pulls up in a fancy car, and Billy goes to warn his sister, Jenny.
Did you say a fancy car?
Yeah.
And his blue van?
His blue van. Well, everybody else has fancy cars because it's Beverly Hills, and this is a swanky house they're in front of, so I forgot what car he drives.
To show how rich they are, it's because he's driving... Michael J. Fox's Jeep from the get-go.
So he warns his sister Jenny, and Jenny yells down from the window and says to get rid of Blanchard, and he goes, what a brother's for, babe? And so upstairs, she is busy changing, and she finds creepy David Blanchard hiding in her closet, who pounces on her like a fucking spider monkey. Luckily, it's very scary. He's peering out through him and jumps out on her, and he goes, I gotta tell you something. And then Brother Billy comes in to save the day.
Come on. All right. Look, something very weird is going on here.
Oh, no shit.
Sherlock, I have to talk to you.
I didn't know you had to hide in a closet to talk.
Bill, she is playing games with me, man. I'm serious.
Liar!
Jen? Bill?
David, why
Mom
do
and Dad
you keep
show
bothering
up.
My daughter?
Mrs. Whitney, I just want to talk
please,
to her.
Please, just leave.
Oh, Blanchard.
And Mom and Dad have a little chat with the kids after this.
Are we supposed to believe Blanchard is his first or last name?
Blanchard, he's David Blanchard.
Blanchard.
Yeah, David Blanchard. But they call him Blanchard, you know.
Woodworth, can you just leave?
So Mom and Dad have a little talk with the kids right after they leave.
What's going on here, guys?
Oh, it was nothing, Dad.
It's okay, Daddy.
I thought we weren't going to be seeing David Blanchard anymore.
You should be getting ready.
You know Judge Carter will be there tonight.
I'm almost ready now.
Oh, Bill.
Judge Carter does that Milo the best. Outside?
yeah, he was just going to take me to...
So... Judge Carter, wait till you meet Judge Carter, man. He
I'm
is
sorry
something
to say
else.
That just hearing this movie again after seeing the end just makes the rest of the movie that much funnier. So
honestly, this movie is so much better if you do nothing else. You, by the way, this movie is free. There's a free version of it up on YouTube. You can look up Society 1998 and just watch the last 30 of it, so you can enjoy how funny all of this is.
This is definitely for a film for those that have seen the movie Caligula and like Caligula. Could have been a bit more sick and perverse, you know?
Yeah. So. It's building up. It's building up slowly. So Billy then zips up Jen's dress, and her back starts to kind of bubble a little bit, which is kind of creepy, but Billy kind of shakes it off like, meh, that's nothing weird. Meh, not a big deal.
And that's what starts up the episode of the Pimple Popper. It's like, oh my gosh, it's like a foot long. Now you see this little thing, and it's the worst bukkake zit ever. So
Yes. So next we see Billy. Next we see Billy at the school debate as he's running for class president against the class nerd Petri.
Tom Myers.
And he does kind of look like Tom Myers. It's not a lie. If you look up Petri. He brings all of the pizzazz of a Tom Myers to this
all
role.
All the warmth and charm of Tom Myers. Thank you for having our best episode ever.
Yes. Thanks.
We love you.
Shout out Cumtown for giving us our big boost.
And I need to buy more CDs.
So when all of a sudden he's sitting there, he sees a very pretty lady in the front row who opens up her legs, showing a little bit of the underpants to old Billy.
But she has
Billy.
Underwear on. Oh,
she has underwear on, but Billy is literally doing like the cartoon, like, like tongue out, like looks like an idiot up there. He mumbles and stumbles, but then recovers. And shits all over that nerd's point. He's just like, he just says something cool like, hey, way to go, blah, 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 woo! And they're like, all of a sudden, yeah, way to go, Billy.
Go basketball team.
Go basketball. And he's easily smashes this debate, but his cheerleader girlfriend was not pleased with Billy's drooling. Next, we see Billy goes back to talk to his shrink. He's riding Cloud 9 about the recent events at the school debate. The shrink presses him a little bit about his family, and Billy then answers that he basically says, I think I'm adopted. And the shrink says this is paranoia, and then he says this.
You know, you really deserve what's going to happen to you, you know. What's going to happen? You're going to make a wonderful contribution to society.
Oh! Perfect, Jeremy.
Thank you, Upright Citizens Brigade.
Our titular line song.
Titular.
Oh, that's good. Titular yes. line, Jeremy. Good job. Now, as we move forward here, and
we're going to keep a count on this. This is the number one.
Well, I didn't keep track of it, but I'm not lying to you. They say it at least 30 times in this. You hear the word, you're going to be good for society. You know, society really needs you, pal. Society this, society that.
See, I prefer whenever the titular line happens in a movie that they look right into the camera. The society. So.
Next, he comes home to see something most bizarre.
Can I mention my favorite magazine?
What's that?
High Society.
Oh, High Society. Yes. Ooh, that's a Cheech, not Cheech, a Chong, Tommy Chong production.
Oh.
He owns the High Times.
I just read it to become a better person. I thought it teaches you how to be into high society. I guess it's porn. So
next, Billy comes home to see the most bizarre thing yet. He walks upstairs looking for his sister, and his sister's in the shower, And it appears that, like, her head, he could see her ass, but her whole upper torso is completely turned around so you can see her titties. But you can, like, barely make it out through the...
it's very obvious that she's turned around.
Yeah,
yes.
It's very... It's fucking disturbing looking. He opens up. Of course, I think it's funny because he knows it's his sister in there, but he still opens it up and like, hey, what's going on in here? Because, all right, listen, I watched the scene again. And if I saw any of my family, Jeremy, if I walked up and I saw you and I felt like your torso was turned all the way around, I would check on you just for good measure, okay? I wouldn't just, like, let that slide.
Hey,
I'd
Jerry,
have to go.
Why are you turning into a freak?
By the way, I probably have my camera phone ready. I'm like, wait to see Jeremy's tits turn the wrong way.
That
this
would
is going to blow
happen.
Your mind. So.
Man, it would go viral.
He makes a very bad excuse. He's like, "Oh, I just needed to find this Monistat 7. That's what I needed real quick. I gotta roll out. Sorry, Vag is really acting up."
And if you notice that scene, her fake tits on her back were much larger than her real tits on her front.
Yeah, that's you know, maybe back titties is the what if that's like where we're going for society, like getting back tits.
Well, you know who's the most worth the most in prison is the guy with the biggest back tits.
Oh, yeah? So, yeah. Oh, grab yeah. them fucking back titties.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
I could be a friend to you.
So, outside, he sees his parents, and Billy sees his parents, and they appear to be eating slugs out of the front yard there, out of the garden area.
Slugs?
And he tells his family that he's going to the beach. He hops in his Jeep and finds a weird Ken doll that has a screw through its head. He pays no attention to it, chucks it out the window, and drives off to have fun in the sun. Now, at the beach, Billy rubs down his blonde cheerleader girlfriend with sunscreen. It seems incredibly natural and not like Billy is a homosexual man that is being forced to touch a woman. Ultimately, she's mad that they're not invited to Ted Ferguson's party, and she wants Billy to go ask Ted, who's also at the beach, if they can get invited. Now, while this is happening, some little...
Introduce one of the douchiest characters next to... who was the guy that played Ultron?
That would be Kevin Spader. Spader?
Yeah,
Spader.
Yeah.
Something Spader.
Definitely almost douchier than him, even though not as pretty, so...
That is true. So, he goes over, while this is all happening, some
James
like, little,
Spader.
James Spader, yes.
Kevin Spader.
Kevin
his
Spader.
Brother. I am Ultron.
We're scared we're going to get popped for all the society people that are listening to the show. They're
gosh,
like,
I can't believe they didn't get society right.
So,
us and Lisa, both of us who've actually seen this film. So,
Free on YouTube. You guys can watch it anytime you want.
Yes,
so anyway,
please just watch the last quarter. It is worth every minute.
So while this is happening, some young ragamuffins who are like 9 to like 12 years old steal some sunscreen and then squirt it at his girlfriend's face. And she goes, oh, like this. He goes to chase after them and then runs into the hottie from earlier who then picks up the sunscreen from them and then squirts it on his face and he loves it. Also, there's a little movie flub here. He gets squirted in the face on one scene and then the next scene when he stands up, it's all of a sudden on his shoulder. It's fun. Clearly, they took multiple takes there. So
had to
nice
make sure
flub.
They had enough squirting in the scene faces.
Mm-hmm.
In the face scenes.
And now Billy also then, after the hot chick leaves, after having a brief encounter with her, he runs into this giant Neanderthal woman who is just like, this clearly mentally challenged woman who looks like Carney Wilson with like buck teeth in her. Like, oh God, she's fucking real gem.
Is it me or is she actually 6'7"?
I don't know. She looks like she could fucking choke slam Andre the Giant. I shit you not. That's a big old bitch. He then goes over to Ted the other guy he was debating up against is with Ted, and Ted kind of infers that he's going to rig the election for the other kid to win. He also doesn't invite Billy to the party. He walks away dejected and then sees that his hot cheerleader girlfriend has also left him there at the beach. He then runs into Blanchard, though, who needs to tell him something very important. Blanchard walks with him down the beach, and because Blanchard is such a fucking creep, he's carrying a full briefcase on the beach where he didn't need to carry this briefcase because he opens the briefcase up, and all there is a small tape recorder in it. He's such a fucking nerd loser that he carries a full metal briefcase so he can bring out a small tape recorder to play him this recording here.
All right, now, Bill, I know you're going to be a little upset about this, but I put a voice-actuated tape recorder underneath your parents' car and a microphone in Jenny's ear. What?
You bought my family? No, I bought my family? That's another tape. Listen.
I remember my own coming out. I was so excited.
Then you can do it with women as well as men.
Of course.
You know the schedule. First we dine, then copulation. Summon your own age first. Then, with your mother and me. Then, in comes the host. Ready.
You know, I could hardly keep a straight face when Bill apologized to me about not being able to make it tonight.
Don't be concerned about your brother, Jen. He's too busy with things in his own world to worry about ours.
You really lucked out, Jen. Ted Ferguson is really cute for our first partner.
Ted Ferguson? Ted Ferguson?
Yeah, Jenny and Ferguson. That's just the beginning. Here, listen.
Wow, your boobs look totally sexy. Guys are gonna pop high ones the second they see you.
I'm a little nervous, though.
It's fine. Oh, relax, Jenny. Just go with it.
It's so much fun to see how far you can stretch.
Yeah, the hotter and wetter you get, the more you can do. It's great.
Oh, man, this is some hot... This is the hottest my sister's ever been. Blanchard, who still doesn't think this is enough to just show a loved one in the family, goes on to play more of the secret recording.
Oh, Ted. Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Is that him? God,
what the hell are they doing?
Which is, by the way, everyone's first sexual experience as a male for our female listeners always ends with ah, God!
And my favorite, can you play? Sure. As good as the Resident Evil porn, so.
So Billy ends up throwing Blanchard to the ground, then takes the tape out of the tape recorder. Doesn't take the tape recorder. He's like, I respect you enough to leave your tape recorder. I'll just take this copy of the tape that you have. And
Blanchard.
Billy then heads home to find his dad and the judge. I'm sorry, he doesn't head back home, but back at the house, we see Dad and the infamous Judge Carter finding the secret mic in Jenny's earring. Billy then heads to his shrink to play him the tape, but he doesn't have time to listen to it now. Tells him to come back later, which is seems like kind of a dick move for it, but whatever. He then goes to tell his girlfriend about what happened, but she doesn't want to listen because they're not invited to the party. It's like he can't tell anybody about this weird orgy sex tape that he's listened to of his sister. I don't understand. This should be something everybody should want to listen to. Like, hey, you want to hear my sister gangbang an entire room of people real quick, including Ted Ferguson? He can't get this out of his fucking system. He can't just tell people what it is. It's ridiculous.
And why does the orgy sound like the one of the dogs from The Thing in the background going, so, that's not dog.
They pretty much end up breaking up on the spot, and at the very least, their relationship is not in good standing. Milo comes up shortly after, and he opens his locker. Billy opens his locker and finds a voodoo doll head in his locker. He pushes it in Milo's chest and walks off. He then goes to see a shrink the following day, but the tape sounds totally different. They're talking about dancing, not sex. Oh my gosh. Billy is pissed and he doesn't understand why. And his shrink tells him this.
Billy, people are what they are. No,
Yeah, you have to learn to accept that. And you have to learn to accept society's rules of...
Oh!
Teach me life.
It's a good song, Jeremy.
A lot of work.
It's pretty...
The shittiest
this
instrumental
is some good
ever.
Reggae.
Oh, boy. I'm just so tired of all these Star Wars. That scene wasn't...
And let's not forget what his strength says, much like Dora Pesh from Warlock. All we are is all we are.
Billy, really hate giving you drugs, Billy.
What?
I don't believe this.
You can always trust me, Billy.
You gotta believe me.
It's okay. It's heroin. It's not even addictive.
So Billy freaks out when his doctor tries to write him a new prescription and instead picks up the phone, calls Blanchard up and says, hey, I need another copy of that tape. I know I beat you up on the beach, but I need it right now. So he gives him the coordinates and goes to go meet Blanchard. Now, when he shows up, he speeds off to go meet him. But when he gets to the meet point, he finds that Blanchard's van is completely flipped over in a horrible car accident. And Blanchard is super fucking dead. The police and paramedics, for some odd reason, just let Billy trample all over the crime scene that has clearly happened here. He's just walking in the blood and guts everywhere and finds the tape recorder. But the cops confiscate the tape from him and tell him to get lost. So Billy goes home. And when he arrives home, his mom and dad and sister give him a telegram from Ted Ferguson inviting Billy to the party at Ferguson's house. The family doesn't really want to talk about Blanchard's death. They kind of glance over it like, ah, that's sad. Anyway, you're going to a party tonight. Isn't that going to be great, Billy? Which is, listen, if you're trying to push down trauma, a party with lots of drugs and drinking is the only way I know how to deal with it. So... without further ado, he goes and heads to Fergie's party. Now, he is he sees that hottie, Clarissa, at the party. We learn her name is Clarissa at this point. And they get to dancing. Milo interrupts their moment with an inappropriate joke. Milo asks about Blanchard's death because he's clearly a regular person that is, concerned about the situation. But he blows off Milo to go follow hot-ass Clarissa and... honestly, I don't blame him because Milo is a fucking nerd.
Oh, Devin DeVasquez, otherwise known as Clarissa.
Yes.
Apparently, she dated Icon Prince in the late 80s.
Yeah, yeah. She was a Prince chick.
Which she didn't reveal until 2016. She was also Playboy centerfold in 1985.
And I did look them up, and those are some sweet ass titties.
You know, this is the kind of film where the acting's so bad, you really expect porn.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like, it's the only thing trying to actually keep you watching bad acting in a bad film. So
he follows Clarissa into this tent, and when he walks into the tent, Billy is met by Ferguson waiting with all of his gang, and Billy then confronts Fergie about what's going on.
Just relax. Enjoy. I want to know what happened to Blanchard. And I want to know what you did to my sister for coming out. You know the schedule. First, we dined. Then I fucked your sister. And then everybody else got so turned on, they fucked her too. And as far as Big Ol' Breath Blanchard goes, I ran that low-rent fool right into a pole. It's a pretty busy week, don't you think?
So there's immediate altercation between Billy and Ferguson. Fergs and the gang then takes Billy out to the pool and throws him into the pool. And Fergie then says, if you're going to make waves, you're going to drown.
Don't you see it as kind of ironic that the people of the society are very like well-off and well-to-do?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like it's like a what's the word? a class envy kind of film about class envy.
Yeah,
almost.
I could see that. No, that makes sense.
But
it makes sense.
Who knew that like all rich people had like superpowers to change their bodies into weird shapes and
yeah.
and then rape you? So this is ironic, don't you think?
So that hottie Clarissa then meets up with him after he's drying himself up out of the pool, and she's kind of impressed with his bravery. They go back to her place, and things get a little bit weird. She gives him a good old ride back at her place, and he then has another odd hallucination. He looks back at Clarissa's body back on the bed, and it looks like her legs are turned the completely opposite way. Like, there's no way this could be happening. He then snaps out a... He then looks at it like really odd, and he goes, she looks at him and goes, I wonder when you lost your virginity. Like, this is just a regular thing that you should be seeing here.
I hate to say that I think Yuzna really tries for like a good David Lynch kind of weirdness to his mm-hmm. film. And even the whole reason the film was made, I think, was the reason of the weird, I don't want to give away the ending, but also the guy with the hand on the top of his head.
Yeah, the NWO sign.
I think the whole film was built upon just those concepts, which is, it's great that you can actually make a film from such weirdness.
Yeah.
And at the same time, if he couldn't...
Well, we'll talk about more about the high strange. Well, I can bring it up. The some of the special effects and just the really strange things that you see in the movie were inspired by Salvador Dali, who, if you're not familiar with the, I believe he's a French artist, most famous known for the Melting Clocks painting. A lot of what happens in this film was based off of those paintings.
Off of his weird mustache.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, if you've never seen a picture of Salvador Dali, pull up your Google machine and just type in his name and look at his fucking... First of all, he looks like he would just hang out with Aleister Crowley. Like he definitely has weird sex orgies with Aleister Crowley, 100%. So, now, while this is all happening outside, his girlfriend, who they thought were on a break, is outside of Clarissa's place watching, and she's fucking pissed about what's going on. But they were on a break. You understand? They were on a break. You fucked this up, lady, not him. And he got to go to the party, and you didn't. You're a fucking nerd. Look, you broke up with him. He's with a hotter chick. She just needs to move on. But inside, Clarissa decides to make Billy some tea.
How do you like your tea? Cream? Sugar? Or do you want me to pee in it?
Oh, yeah.
That's the way Prince likes it.
Man. Yeah, she's just she's like, my last boyfriend, Prince, really liked when I pissed in his tea. Is that how you like it as well? I thought that's what men like.
I preferred his drink with Purple Rain. So
Is that what he called it? Piss tea is Purple Rain? That's the whole song is actually about the piss that he drinks.
That's what he mentions in the song. If you know what I'm talking about. It's Purple Rain. So.
Girl, I like when you piss in my tea, and I drink it and pour it in my eyes. I wasn't always light-skinned. I was dark like Michael, but I drank so much pee, it turned me light as fuck.
But when she's not menstruating, it's computer blue. So sorry.
They decide, I like Billy's move, though. A girl says she's going to pee in your tea. He's turned on. They decide to get freaky again. Because if a girl's ready to piss in your tea, then she's ready to fuck again right now. So
she's open to different things.
Outside, his girl sees that there's some stuff going on, but then she sees a massive person move towards the door. So they decide to leave.
Good thing when she mentions the pee, he's like, ew, I just wanted you to poop on a glass table for me, you weirdo. Gosh, that's disgusting.
Listen, I'm not a freak. Now, can you shit on this bagel for me real quick? Because that's the only way I can climax at 17 years old.
Oh, gosh.
It's not an everything bagel till you poop in it. So, all of a sudden...
And she's like, I want to eat your zit extraction.
All over my face. Pimple pop. Squirt it like toothpaste into my mouth.
Get the spoon.
Honestly, this is not the grossest thing we're going to talk about. I swear to you. I swear on all things holy, episode 2 gets so much worse.
And now all of our listeners have vomited and have turned off the program.
the monster that's walking towards the door is none other than that mentally challenged woman he met on the beach. It's Clarissa's mother. She comes over and she starts going, and coughs up a piece of hair and then hands it to Billy.
Adding to her character in the film. Yes.
God. So we've met Clarissa's family, the simpleton mother, who seems pretty harmless, just likes to eat hairballs. Billy wakes up the next morning to find a blow-up doll inside of his Jeep with a Ken doll shoved into its mouth. His ex confronts him right when this is happening. And the fucking blow-up doll has a big sign that says Clarissa on it. So his girlfriend's not happy about the whole situation, and it's pretty much officially over between those two at this point. Now, inside, he sees his family very creepily clad. They're like in pajamas. They're hanging around the house. The dad is giving the daughter a massage when he walks in. Billy decides to confront his dad at this point, and he says this.
You guys disgust me.
Bill, don't be disrespectful to your mother.
My mother? God knows where my mother is.
I won't tolerate this language from you, young man.
Fuck you, butthead.
Bill, how dare you use the F word to your father?
Oh, gee, I'm sorry, Mom. Prefer the word copulation?
Copulation.
You stay away from me. Don't touch me.
Do something with him.
You don't have to do anything anymore because I'm moving out.
You can't do that.
You're 27 years old. You can't move out of our house.
See you later, Billy Joel.
Yes. So I think that's going to bring us to an end of episode one of Society.
Just getting
and
wet
we
have, for Society.
We're just scratching the surface
just
of this
wet.
One. I got some big things coming up, Jeremy, in the month of June.
Like your penis?
Well, listen to the thing. I've finally gotten to a point this year where I have 4 headlining comedy shows in 1 month, and you got a lot of chances to see me. On the 20th, I'm going to be at the Siriana Cafe. That's in downtown Ellicott City. It's a new show me and Mike Quinlan are starting, and I'm kicking off the first show there, headlining the event. So definitely check it out. Tickets are $10, so if you guys could help me sell this show out. It's not a big venue. It's going to be intimate. It only holds about like 50 people. So hop on ericcomedy.com for the link there. I'm going to be at the Brightbox Theater on the 22nd. The 27th, I'm going to be down at D.C. at Adams Morgan. You can check me out there, D.C. people. 28th, I'll be at the Coon Club up in Westminster. And the 29th, I'll be at Baltimore in Middle River area, headlining a show at a yacht club. So a lot of big things for Eric Woodworth in the month of June.
Yeah, I hate to say I love listening to 98 Rock, but also it's the fact that I think Justin mentions you by name almost every single week now.
We're buds. We're buds, man.
No, he's mentioned you as close friends right there with Wendy and Joe.
We play video games together. We're very good friends.
And I watch you play video games with Justin.
Yeah, and you can catch
his female character.
You can catch all things Eric Comedy, all the shows that I talk about on ericcomedy.com, Eric with a K, Comedy with a C. You can also check me out on the Laugh Finder podcast. We've had some really good episodes up lately. Eric Navarro is about to be up, so check him out because he was on last week's episode here. So if you liked Eric Navarro, you can check more of him out there. The Second Saturday Shit Show is free every second Saturday in the month. Got a Bar, run by Kimberly Callahan and Michael P. Quinlan. Jeremy, take us out.
You'll make a great contribution to the society, Billy Joel.